Please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 through chapter 14, verse 8. We have been working our way together through the book of Exodus. This morning we want to consider together how the Lord leads his people. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Exodus. We're simply picking up where we left off last time in chapter 13 with verse 17. Let's hear God's word together. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, "Lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here." And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi-hi Haroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, 'They are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in.' And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, "What is this we've done that we've let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, what a beautiful day, and what a wonderful opportunity to gather together this morning and to worship you, to thank you for your goodness, to praise you for your blessings, to remember all the good things that you have filled our life with. It's also a time for us to renew ourselves, to be refreshed, to be reminded of your goodness and your love and faithfulness, an opportunity for us to come clean, to own up to our own guilt and sin where appropriate, and to confess it and to renounce it, a chance to bathe ourselves in your grace, to accept and receive the free gift of forgiveness in the person of your Son, a chance for us to find new life in Jesus Christ and to forsake the world and give ourselves to Jesus, a chance for us to renew our commitment to you, a chance to come to your word together and to think about it and to be challenged, to listen and to believe and to receive your word, to be fed by it, to be taught, to be corrected, to be instructed. These are all things you do for us, Lord, through your word, so that we can be sent out with your blessing. We can be sent out to live for Jesus. We can be sent out forgiven and with happy hearts singing your praises. We can be sent out into the world to serve you. Lord, accomplish the purposes of your scriptures this morning. Enable us to hear what you have to say to us. Help us to apply these truths to our lives. Help us to understand better what you want us to know. Help us to understand better who you're calling us to be. Strengthen us this morning and bless us through the blood work of Jesus on the cross, through everything he has done. May your blessing fall on us and rest on us and stay with us. Come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, and speak your word of life to us. Apply your word to us this morning and make us new. Make us a new people, a better people. Make us whole and healthy and holy and happy. We pray, Lord, and ask your blessing of grace as we come to your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by asking you just to take a moment and stop and think about where you are. You know, look around and see who's sitting next to you. I know you don't want to do it. Look around. Look around. See who's sitting next to you, sitting in front of you or behind you. And think about where you are. Okay? Not just physically, but think about where you are in life. Okay? In terms of your relationships. Think about where you are in terms of your family and your friends. And think about where you are in terms of your job, your career, or your schoolwork, or your grades, or what grade you're going into, or your finances. Think about where you are in terms of your health and your living situation, your apartment, or your house. You know, it's not just we're in this building together. Of course, that's part of it. We're all here this morning. We're gathered here to worship. But more than that, think about where we are as far as, well, our community and our culture, the things going on around us. Think about our country and all the things going on in the world today. I want you to just take a moment this morning and just ask yourself honestly, is this where you thought you'd be at this point in your life? Not just here physically, but in terms of your family and your health and your relationship and your accomplishment. Is this where you thought God would take you? Is this where you thought life would bring you? Maybe it is. Maybe everything so far has turned out exactly the way you expected. Maybe your whole life so far has turned out exactly the way you anticipated. But maybe not. Maybe you never dreamed you'd be in the situation you're in. Or maybe you never imagined you'd go through some of the things you've gone through. What we want to see together this morning is that the Lord often leads his people in ways that we don't understand. Okay? Look with me at our text this morning. We're just picking up where we left off last time. We're in chapter 13, verse 17. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines. Okay, so Pharaoh's had enough. Okay, there was the Nile was turned to blood. There was the plague of frogs, the plague of gnats, the plague of flies. There was the disease that fell on the livestock. There was the hailstorm. There were the locusts. There was the darkness. And then God himself came and he struck down the firstborn of every family, every household in the land of Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh says, I've had enough. That's enough. And so he calls for Moses in the middle of the night and he says, Moses, get up, get your people and get out of here. And just like that, God's people are on the move. The Hebrews had been in Egypt for something like 430 years. And most of that had been as servants or slaves. So after hundreds of years of suffering and slavery and bondage, God has set them free just like that. Have you ever had to move? You ever had to move to another house or move to a new school, pick up your whole family and move to a whole new job, a whole new part of the country? It's a big deal to move. These people had to move and they didn't even have time to pack. They didn't even have time to plan and they didn't even know where they were going. Now remember, Abraham was like their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. God had promised Abraham, he said, your descendants, which are these people, your descendants one day would be servants in a foreign land. And then after about 400 years, God said, I'll bring them out and I'll bring them back to the land of Canaan. So the people have a general idea where they're going, but it's not like they've ever been there before. It's not like they visited on vacation. These people have been slaves. They've never had vacation. So they're leaving everything they've ever known and they're headed for a land they've never seen before. We all face times like that. Okay? We all face times when we have to leave the comfortable and the familiar and you enter the great unknown. Right? Maybe it's going off to camp for the first time. Okay? Or maybe you're starting at a big high school this year. You don't know what it's going to be like. Maybe you're going off to college. Maybe you're starting that new job. Maybe you're getting married. Maybe you're starting a family. Or maybe you're like my mother-in-law and you're coming to live with relatives. We all go through those times when you got to step out in faith. You got to leave behind the comfortable and the familiar, and you got to step out into that great unknown. Well, this says that when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines. Now, if you could just look at a map, you would see that there's a very straight, very direct route from Egypt, okay, up to the land of Canaan. Okay? The land of Canaan is right there in the crook of the Mediterranean Sea. And so you could look at a map, you could see a very direct route. In fact, there was actually a highway, a major highway from Egypt up to the land of Canaan, and it was called the Way of the Sea because it was a highway that just followed the Mediterranean Sea. That was the simplest, shortest, most direct route from Egypt to the land of Canaan, and that is not the way God took them. It says, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines. God did not take his people the most obvious, the most simple, the most direct route because he knew they weren't ready for it. He knew that if they went that route, they would invariably encounter the Philistines, and he knew God's people weren't ready for that. This is what it says. God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, although that was close, although that was the obvious, short, most direct route. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. God knew the people weren't ready for battle yet. He knew they weren't ready. And if they went that way, with the most direct way, the obvious way, he knew that when they saw the violence and the horror and the bloodshed of war, when they saw their sons killed in war, he knew they would panic, they would give up, they would quit, and they would turn around and they'd go back to Egypt and go back to being slaves. And so instead, God took them on a different route. It says, God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. So instead of going northeast, which is where everybody would have gone and everyone would have expected, instead they went southeast. They went a totally different direction. And oftentimes God will do that. God will take you on a circuitous route. He'll take you on a roundabout way to spare you things you're not ready for yet. You know, sometimes we complain because, man, things are taking so long. I thought I would have accomplished this much sooner in life. I feel like I'm going the wrong way in life. But you have no idea. You have no idea what kind of things God has spared you. You know, these people must have felt like we're going the wrong direction, but they had no idea. They'd never seen war. People have been slaves their whole life. They were shepherds and brickmakers. They didn't know anything about war. They had no idea what God was sparing them. But God will often do that. God often takes you on a roundabout way, a circuitous route, to spare you things you're not ready for yet. Sometimes we overestimate what we're capable of. You know, we overestimate what we're really ready for. It says here, the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. So the people leave and they think they're going to war. They think they're ready. But God knew they weren't. Sometimes we overestimate what we think we can handle, but God knows our limitations. You know, you get out of high school or you get out of college and you think, I want to be at the top. I want the corner office. I want my name on the door. I want the big perks. I want all the money and the big bucks. I want the big house. I want the big cars. I want all the kids. And I want it now. Right? We want all that right now. And that is not the way life usually turns out. Usually you don't start out with the big job and the big house. Usually you start out with the lousy job and the small cheap apartment and the car that barely runs. Because God knows you're probably not ready to be the boss yet. You're probably not ready to handle all that responsibility. You know, all that money might be too much of a temptation for you right now. We want a straight line to where we want to go. We want to be there now. But often God will take you on a roundabout way that doesn't make sense to us. But God may be sparing you something that you're just not there yet. You're not ready for it yet. doesn't mean God's not leading you. Verse 19 is kind of an aside, and I want to look at it real quick. It says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. Okay, if Abraham was their great, 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 great grandfather, Joseph was more like their great, 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 great grandfather. And if you remember, when Joseph was alive in Egypt, Joseph was a very important man. He was second only to Pharaoh. But Joseph was in Egypt at a time before the Hebrews became slaves. And when Joseph was about to die, he knew what God had told Abraham. Okay? Joseph had been taught God's promise that one day God would bring the people out of the land of Egypt and take them back to the promised land. And so before Joseph died, he made his sons swear that they would protect and preserve his body. Because he says, one day God is going to visit you. God is going to come to you. And I want you to swear that when he does, you'll take my bones, you'll take my remains, and take me back with you to the land of Canaan. Because Joseph wanted to be buried with the people of God. He wanted to be laid to rest in the promised land. He believed in the promises of God. He didn't know when it was going to happen. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he believed in the promises of God. And so he said, swear to me that when God finally comes and takes you back to the promised land, you'll take my bones with you. Because he wanted to be buried with the people of God in the promised land. And so this is what it's simply telling us, is that at last God has visited his people. And as they're leaving, Moses made sure they got the remains of Joseph to take with them. Verse 20, and they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The wilderness was a very empty place. It was very barren. I mean, nobody was there. Nobody wanted to go there. It was just rock and dirt and sand and grass. It was a barren, desolate, lifeless, lonely place. It was not the place you'd want to go. The highway, the way of the sea, that's the way everybody would go. That's where travel was easy. That was the fast route. Everybody would go that way. And God has taken them the other way. God has taken them to the wilderness, to the desert. Sometimes God will do that. Sometimes God will take you where you don't want to go. And it'll seem like all your friends are going another route. It'll seem like other people are they're getting married and they're having kids and everything. And God's taking you a different direction. Sometimes it seems like everybody else is healthy and they're making money and they got. And God, sometimes God will take you a different way, and it may not be where you want to go. Sometimes it feels like God is taking you into the wilderness. Sometimes you're thinking, "What are we doing?" It seems like God is leading you into a place that is empty and lonely and desolate and barren. It seems like everybody else has these rich, fruitful lives, and it seems like God is leading you into a lonely, desolate, empty place. Sometimes God will take you where you don't really want to go, but it doesn't mean he's not leading you. Verse 21 says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Imagine a huge column or a pillar of cloud that went ahead of the people. So the people knew the Lord was with them, and they knew where to go. By day, the Lord appeared to them as a pillar or column of cloud, and at night, God appeared to them as a pillar of fire so that they could travel by night. That's what it says. By night, in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. Raise your hand if you want to walk through the wilderness at night. No, thank you. They don't even want to go that way, much less travel at night. But that's the way life is. Sometimes God will take you places you don't want to go. You never know when or where God might lead you. But it doesn't mean he's not with you. You may feel this morning that you're in the wilderness, or maybe you're just bitter because you look back and on parts of your life did not turn out the way you think they should have, and you don't know why God allowed certain things. Just because you've been through the wilderness or you're in the wilderness, it doesn't mean God isn't with you. Verse 22 says, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. God was not taking the people the way they wanted to go. He wasn't taking them the way they thought they should go. He wasn't taking them the way they expected to go. He was taking them away they didn't want to go. He was taking them out toward the wilderness, which was lonely and barren and desolate. But he was with them. And he was leading them day and night. It says that pillar, whether it was a pillar of cloud by day or fire by night, it says it did not depart from the people by day or night. Whatever you're going through, if you're like Joseph and you're trusting in the promises of God, then you can be sure God is with you and he is leading you no matter what. What I want you to see this morning is that often the Lord leads his people, though, in ways that we don't understand. Okay, now let's look at chapter 14, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea." Okay. Bad enough. Bad enough we're going in a direction that we didn't expect. Bad enough they're going in a direction they didn't really want to go. Bad enough they're going toward the wilderness. Now God says to Moses, tell the people to stop and turn around. Turn around? I thought God was leading them. Not only are we going a direction they don't want to go, it doesn't seem like they're wrong. Now God says, stop, turn around, go backwards. And then he's got them hemmed in between the wilderness and the Red Sea. I mean, this doesn't look good. It feels like they're lost. You know, it's one thing to start going a different route. Well, okay, maybe God knows what he's doing. But now they stop and they turn around, they go back, and it looks like they're lost. It looks like God doesn't know what he's doing. It looks like he's not leading them right, or maybe nobody's leading them at all. But what's happening here is that God is leading them in a very unpredictable, a very mysterious way, to show that he's God. You may look at your life sometime and you feel like, man, my life is not a straight line. I feel like God took me here and then went back here and then we went backwards. And sometimes God leads us in very mysterious ways, but it's to show us, it's to teach us that he's the Lord. This is what God says, verse 3. "For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land, the wilderness has shut them in." In other words, God was deliberately leading the people in a way that would be confusing to Pharaoh. Because God knows what Pharaoh is like. God knows that Pharaoh is a greedy, hard-hearted man. And even though Pharaoh kicked the people out and told them to leave, God knows Pharaoh's going to change his mind. Pharaoh's going to think to himself, man, what have I done? Those are my slaves. That's my task force. I want them back. God knows that Pharaoh is going to come after them. And so he's deliberately leading the people in a way that's going to be confusing to Pharaoh. He says Pharaoh's going to look out and Pharaoh's going to think the people are lost. Verse 4, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them." Now, we've talked about this before. When it says that God will harden Pharaoh's heart, it does not mean Pharaoh's a good guy and God's going to make him bad. Pharaoh was already hard-hearted. But God can do anything. And God can soften even the most hard-hearted person. You never give up. You never stop praying for somebody because God can change anybody's heart. And God could soften, he could break the heart of Pharaoh. He could have brought Pharaoh to his knees and made Pharaoh a praying man. But in this case, God chose not to. Pharaoh was a wicked, hard-hearted man, and God chose to leave him that way. This reminds us that God is in control of and has his hand in. He can use even the awful things and the hard-hearted people. And God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to let Pharaoh be hard-hearted. And I'm going to let him come after my people. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host. Well, Pharaoh's host is his host of his army. That's what it means. It's his troops. God says, I'm going to allow this. I'm going to use Pharaoh's hard-heartedness to bring glory to myself. See, sometimes, boy, the Lord leads you into unexpected situations to reveal his glory, so that you see something of his greatness and his magnificence. We feel our own limitations and our own weakness, and then we see something of God's greatness and his glory. Sometimes God leads you in mysterious ways to show that he is God. This is what God says. He says, I'll get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. God is leading his people, the Hebrews, in this really funny way, seemingly the wrong direction, and then making them turn around and go back. And not only so that they see God's glory and realize that, yes, God really is the Lord, but he says he's also doing it so the Egyptians will know that God is the Lord. You know, sometimes God leads you in unexpected ways for the sake of the people around you. You know, God may be leading you into the wilderness right now. And maybe your friends and your family and your co-workers, they know about it and they see what you're going through. And maybe God is leading you through that so that when he delivers you, when God hears your prayers, so your friends and your neighbors and your co-workers can see that and see, wow, God worked it all out. You know, sometimes God leads us in these unexpected ways to show you and other people his glory so that people might see that he's the Lord. Well, it turned out just the way God said. Verse 5 says, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, what is this we've done that we've let Israel go from serving us? That's exactly what God said would happen. After the Israelites left, Pharaoh says, what did I do? They were my slaves. Why did I let them go? And so Pharaoh changes his mind, just like God said he would. So Pharaoh made ready his chariot and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. How many chariots did the Hebrews have? Zero. I mean, they've been slaves, right? They made bricks and they were shepherds. They didn't have any chariots. The Hebrews, the Israelites, have no chariots. Pharaoh gets 600 of his chosen chariots, the best chariots, plus all the other chariots and all his officers, and he comes in pursuit of God's people. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. So on the one hand, here's Pharaoh and all his troops coming after the Israelites. And here they are defiantly marching out of Egypt. Well, we're going to have to stop there this morning. And I mean, it's a long account. We'll have to pick up next time and find out what happens next. But in the meanwhile, as we wrap up this morning, I want to encourage you to trust the Lord even when you don't know what God is doing. I mean, it's kind of unusual for us to stop in the middle of an account, but that's really where we live our lives. I mean, there are times you can look back in life and see how God led you. You can tell your kids how God worked it out, that you met your wife or you met your... You know, you can look back on life sometimes and see how God was at work in things. That's wonderful. But a lot of times, you're not always in a position where you just look back. A lot of times, we're in the middle of things. A lot of times, we're like the Hebrews right here. We don't know what's going to happen next. Okay? Here, the Hebrews marching out of Egypt. Here's Pharaoh and his army coming. And if you haven't read this before, you don't know what's going to happen next. And that's where we live our lives. Not knowing exactly what's going to happen next. Not knowing why God is leading you in a certain way. Not knowing why your life has taken a certain turn. But there you go. And you just have to remember, this is often the way the Lord leads his people. We don't always understand what he's doing. He's the Lord. I mean, good night. Who are we to think we can always understand everything he's doing? He's the Lord. Trust him, even when you don't understand what he's doing. And don't depend on signs. You know, there's something about this. The Hebrew people had a pillar of cloud that they could see. They knew God was with them. They had a pillar of fire at night. They knew where to go. And there's something very appealing about that. And sometimes we want that. Lord, give me a sign that you're with me. Show me. You know, or we want God to give us a sign to tell me what to do. Should I marry this guy or not? Should I take this job or not? You know, Lord, all right. If he texts me in the next 15 minutes, I'll marry him. You know, we want something, some kind of sign. You know what? This world is full of signs that God loves you. I mean, you just look around you. The world is full of signs of God's mercy and his grace and his goodness. But you don't depend on a sign. Sometimes God will do really unusual things or amazing answers to prayer that really remind you that God is with you. But you don't need that to know that God is with you. Just remember his word. Remember his word. He tells you. He tells you that he's with you. We don't need, I mean, you don't need a weird coincidence to help you make decisions in life. Because you've got the Word of God. And the Word of God is like that column of fire that goes ahead of you. I mean, Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God is like a pillar of fire that goes ahead of you. God's word tells you he is with you. We're going to see that the Hebrews are going to panic. They're going to realize that the Pharaoh and his army are bearing down on them and they're trapped between the Red Sea and the wilderness, and they're going to panic. They don't have to panic if they would just remember what God said. God had said that it was going to happen. He had said Pharaoh and his army were going to come. And God had said he was going to use it to bring about his own glory, to show the Egyptians that he's God. The people didn't have to panic if they would just remember what God had said. You don't have to panic, and you don't need some sign if you just remember God's word. God assures you that he is with you. If like Joseph, you are trusting in the Lord, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, you know that he's with you, whether you see it, whether you feel it or not. And you can be assured that he's leading you. You don't have a pillar of smoke that you can see, but you've got the Word of God. And if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you've got his Spirit. And you've got other godly people who can encourage you and counsel you. Don't feel like you need a miraculous sign to help you make decisions in life. Remember his word. But if you do need a sign, if you feel like I just need some sign that God is with me, then remember the sign of the cross. Remember what Jesus Christ has already done for you. If it feels like sometimes God is leading you into the wilderness, and sometimes it will feel like that. Sometimes you feel like you're going into a black hole. Sometimes you feel like everybody else is going this way, and you want to go that way, and God has taken you somewhere else all by yourself. If sometimes it feels like God is leading you into the wilderness, just remember, Jesus Christ has been there first. When he was baptized, when Jesus was anointed for ministry, when the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, the very next thing it says, and then the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. So if you feel like you're going into a dark place, a lonely place, a barren place, if you feel like you're going into a hard place, remember, Jesus has already been there. He knows what he's doing. He knows the way. He is with you, and he's leading you. In fact, Jesus has gone all the way to the cross. I mean, you think about that. It's not just the physical beatings that we're all familiar with. It just turns your stomach if you think about all the things Jesus experienced. But on the cross, there was more than that. On the cross, Jesus was taking the sins of the world. You know, our guilt was heaped upon him, so that on the cross, Jesus experienced the Father's displeasure. He was experiencing God the Father's wrath. Jesus was taking the punishment that you and I deserve, that all of his people deserve. And Jesus knew that. He knew that's what he was walking into. But just like Joseph, remember Joseph? Joseph knew he was about to die. But Joseph trusted the word. And he trusted that somehow, some way, in God's time, God was going to come and visit the people and take them to the promised land. And Joseph believed that. He said, take my bones with you, because he believed, he trusted that he would end up with God's people in the promised land. And almost in the same way, here is Jesus, and he's headed to the cross. And he understood better than any of us what that was going to mean. And yet he knew the Father's promise, that God the Father would be pleased with what Christ would do on the cross. God would accept his sacrifice on the cross. And God would raise him up somehow, some way. God would raise Jesus from the dead, lift him up to the highest place in heaven, and then gather to him all his people. You know, like Joseph, Jesus trusted in his Father that he would be gathered together with all God's people in the promised land. God often leads us in ways that we don't understand. But trust him, even when you don't understand what he's doing. Remember his word. And remember Jesus Christ. No matter what you're going through right now, he has been through worse. He has been there. He understands it. And he's with you. He knows what he's doing, and he's going to lead you through to the other side. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it's difficult to be led. We want to chart our own course. We think we know what's best. We think we have all the answers. We think we have it all figured out. We want to set our own way. We want to plan our own life. And so often things just don't go the way we expect. Life takes us on so many unexpected twists and turns, and there's things that we didn't take account for, things we didn't anticipate, things we didn't expect. And when we realize, Lord, that we're not as in control of our lives as we once thought, we are thankful to discover that you are. Thank you, God, that you love your people, and you lead us as your sheep. The way you led your people in the wilderness, so you lead us now. We're all different. We all have our different stories to tell, but our paths have crossed this morning. Somehow you brought us all here this morning to hear your word, to think about it together, to have fellowship together and later, and to worship you, and to praise you, and to trust you. Lord, we do pray. We pray, Lord, you would strengthen us for whatever you have in store for us. Help us to encourage others when they're going through tough times. Help us to remind ourselves and each other, you're faithful. You know what you're doing, and you will lead us through. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.